Brother Nigel, and it's nice to be with you, if only through the airwaves, that we can see each other, but it's nice to be with you. And wars, diseases, natural disasters seem to be increasing, both in frequency and intensity. And surely these difficulties speak loud and clear of the return of the Lord Jesus. The question is, do I pray more earnestly for his return, or do I lapse into thinking that all things are continuing as they were from the beginning? Because we've always had these, haven't we? And his return, the Lord Jesus, is far from my mind. The Lord's Prayer says we should pray for God's kingdom to be established. And we know that at some stage the Lord Jesus will return. It's described for us in 1 Thessalonians 4 and at verse 16. Well-known words. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you not wonder what meeting the Lord in the air means? And perhaps have your own ideas? But surely, to me anyway, the important part of the comfort is that we will meet the Lord and ever be with him. They're the words of comfort, aren't they? If we are with the Lord, it doesn't matter where he will be. We will be there. They're the words of comfort. But it's really an exciting event that is being described, without parallel in the world up to now. And that should get our imagination going. Those that are alive and remain shall see the dead rise. But are you comforted or troubled by these words? Perhaps fearing that I am not good enough and I won't be part of it. If that is so, where is our faith and trust in the Almighty to do what he has promised he will do? His grace is enough if we endure. Remember back in Israel's history, before they were a nation, they didn't enter into the land because of unbelief, a lack of faith. Despite seeing all the signs and the wonders that were done upon Egypt, they didn't believe. And that's a warning to us, to believe the promises that have been given. The words of Jesus were, watch, watch. And as we watch for world events, near and far, we have visions to help us, knowing that if we haven't a vision, then we can perish. Or perhaps you have got visions in your own mind that will help you. I have a few that I'll just tell you about that help me in everyday life. We have Isaiah's word picture, don't we? Of the wolf living with the lamb. The leopard with with the kid. The young lion with the family living together. Impossible today, but it will be a reality. Not only that, a little child shall lead them, and even a babe shall put his hand where the snake goes. A picture of true peace and harmony that was in the beginning, but not now. In terms of food and things like that, which in some parts of the world are in very short supply. We have the picture in Psalm 72 and in verse 16. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. That would be useless today, wouldn't it? No use to feed the starving millions at all. The fruit thereof, however, in the future, shall shake like Lebanon. And that's a good picture of enough for all. In terms of peace, we have Micah chapter 4, verse 4, well-known words, that every man shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. So there will be ownership. Not only ownership, there will be peace, because none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. It is guaranteed. A time of true peace compared to today's fear in the minds of many, many people. No anxiety, no mental health problems as there are today. And ultimately, to the end, of course, and Habakkuk and Numbers say it, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Because God has said, truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And that's the visions, or some visions that I have. Yours might be completely different. But they are there for us to endure to the end, so that we don't perish. Also, to help us endure, we have the help and encouragement in our everyday lives from each other. Thankfully, if this is slightly wanting at times, we have the comfort and we have the peace that passes all understanding that we can find in the scriptures. So what of our everyday lives as we try and comfort and help one another? But for a moment, let us dwell on the things that have been done for us, that give us encouragement to help one another, so that we can look forward to and rejoice in the thought of the return of the Lord Jesus. And I suppose, in a way, although God knows the story from beginning to end, we commence our story at baptism, when we all start from the same position. And that is a clean sheet. What is past. It's what is before us that is important. No more bondage. We are free. And from that point of on, we are treated differently to others. Very differently. The Apostle Paul, if he was to write it, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind That's what we can do in baptism. Forget all that is past. And reaching forth, we're looking forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, now we are part of God's children. It really is the birth of an Israelite, for we are the children of light, children of the day. And the one that we remember now, the Lord Jesus, has seen to that for us. We are alive unto him who is eternal and really is able to prevent us from falling. That is his Father. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And that's why we have to watch, to stay alive, to stay awake and watch. For the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seems impossible. But don't forget, we are treated differently. And for me, the comfort, whether it's a literal fire or not, doesn't make any difference whatsoever if we are part of God's children. Because we've only to think of the three friends of Daniel being protected in the fire with one like the Son of God. Daniel chapter 3, of course. But this illustrates to us just how differently we can be treated as God's children. You see, the men that should have thrown them into the fire were themselves killed by that very fire. But for Daniel's three friends, when they came out of it, they didn't even have the smell of fire upon them. That fourth person protected them. That reminds us that we have an angel. Psalm 34 and verse 7 tells us that. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and deliver them. So the conclusion is that Daniel's three friends did just that and were delivered. But thinking of the end of the world, 2 Peter chapter 3 says that seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, they will be done away with. There will be none of man's glory or supposed glory to remain. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? And to verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, it's the vision we have, isn't it, that keeps us going, that comforts us to know that these things that are in the world at the moment will not last forever. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. We have an opportunity to be in peace, without spot and blameless. That's as we strive in our daily life. But it is difficult being at peace at times, isn't it? Being unblemished and without blame, especially amongst our trials and tribulations of life. But we have to have the trials and the tribulations. Acts chapter 14 verse 22 reminds us of that. the disciples were exhorted to continue in the faith. That's how we show our faith, in the trials and tribulations. In the good times, it's just merely words, isn't it? That we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's how God knows that we are worthy, only of our own pitiful efforts, because it's His grace and the righteousness of the Lord that saves us. We're going to be thinking of the Lord Jesus, aren't we? Remembering Him. And I don't know if you've thought about the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, but they, to me, seem to have returned at the end. In the beginning, as He was tempted, He got the answers spot on. He knew the theory. Just as at times we know the theory of dealing with difficulties in life. But it's the practice, isn't it, that is important. He practiced what He preached, did the Lord Jesus. And at the end, as He hung on that cross, He truly practiced those things. He could have satisfied His thirst, like He could have turned the stones into bread. But He simply said, "I thirst." I was given vinegar. I can't really imagine what the pain was like as He hung on the cross. But it was far greater than dashing His foot against a stone. Yet He suffered it for the benefit of others. The inscription over His head proclaimed Him to be the King. And He was. But He couldn't take the glory that went with it without laying down His life in those terrible circumstances. But He had words of comfort for His disciples and for us, because He told them in John chapter 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." We can expect it. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So in our tribulations, in our trials, we are not left without help. It is at hand, so that we have every assistance possible to face our Lord with confidence when He returns. But we know the point is that it is not our own confidence in our own works, for none will be able to boast of such things. It's recognizing our weakness that allows God to work through us, to show His strength, His grace. For by grace we are saved. If we do need help, we can read the scriptures in such as Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 6. The Lord Jesus needed help. He sought it desperately, didn't He? And an angel came and gave Him strength to do what He had to do. Philippians 4 verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're not alone in living through trials and tribulations. And it's easy to think of those of Hebrews 11. But I think of the Apostle Paul, who was shown the things that he would suffer for preaching the word. But he did learn valuable lessons. And so can we, in our trials and our tribulations. Again in Philippians chapter 4 this time, verse 12, he knew how to be abased and he knew how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He knew the extremes, he knew the highs and the lows. What lesson did he learn? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Acts chapter 15 and verse 11 says, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And the Apostle Paul was saved through many great difficulties. Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll conclude with a few words from Scripture, from Ephesians, Timothy and Colossians. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, we've been quickened together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Verse 8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that. We would all fail without the righteousness of the Lord Jesus and the grace of God. 2 Timothy reminds us that we have been saved and called with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Lord God knew that we would come through trials and tribulations with their help. So we can look forward to the kingdom as our salvation draws near, draws ever nearer. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his life that our disobedience to our God and his ways can be covered. And by the grace of God, we can look forward with a sure hope to his return, because we have been asked to have faith in our lives to the end and have confidence in the promises of our God. And we have that confidence in these promises, then we will have faith to the end. So I just conclude with words from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are treated differently. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And as we remember now, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you.